Psalm 51. It's one of the major declarations of truth to the human heart. It isn't well known to the world. It's well known to the believers because it's about a believer. And Psalm 23 is known to the world. The Lord is my shepherd. Most people can say that. But they don't know Psalm 51. So we want to study that this morning and pray that God will teach us the truth. Now, because of what we have just learned about God's grace, we need to read the whole psalm to get the entire picture of what God does for King David in the restoration from his guilt and back to the joy of his salvation. Let you follow in your Bible as I read. Psalm 51, the prayer of repentance by King David. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me, and against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O Lord, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. You do not desire sacrifice, or I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. This is the prayer that pleases God, written by David, the shepherd boy who became the king. We need to learn about this. Why did David write this psalm? Now you remember at the beginning we said that almost every psalm is taken from a specific experience of the psalmist's life. And this psalm is true of that. Now here's the background. You'll read it in 2 Samuel. David has become the king of Israel. God has blessed them in victory over the enemies. David has become a personally very wealthy man. And Israel has become perhaps the richest nation on the face of the earth. God is blessing David. And The army goes out to battle, and David stays home. And near him is a beautiful girl named Bathsheba. David orders his servants to bring her to him. And he arranges for the husband of Bathsheba, Uriah, to be put in the front line of the battle so he will be killed. The captain of the army does that, and the word comes back to David, Uriah is dead. Bathsheba is going to have a child from David. Almost a year goes by, and David suffers the guilt of his sin because he knows God. And the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. So he hates sin, and he's living like this. And one day God sends to him the prophet Nathan. And Nathan tells David a parable. Nathan says to David, there was a very wealthy man who had all kinds of livestock, lots of sheep and lambs. There's a very poor man who had one little lamb. And that lamb had become a pet. And it just was a favorite of the family, and they loved that little lamb. A traveler came to stay with the wealthy man. And instead of taking one of his own abundant lambs and slaying it to feed the traveler, he takes the poor man's one little lamb, slays it to feed it. David's response to Nathan was this: the man that did such a thing shall be put to death. Nathan said, thou art the man. Right in the heart. True. David said, I have sinned against Jehovah. And he writes this song because he's God's man. He's a man after God's own heart. So here is just an amazing event we get in on. It's like drawing the curtain back from a human heart, taking the mask off a human life, and looking right inside and seeing what is going on. It's reality. It's bearing the soul of this miserable man who desperately needs forgiveness. It's a sinner's guide to forgiveness and restoration. And so before our eyes, he becomes a new creation because God is the creator. So we look carefully at this to understand God's work in all of our hearts. And we all need to say that we join David in no matter what area of sin our sin has been, thou art the man. I have sinned against Jehovah. Now what happens? David begins this prayer with the need for forgiveness, which is our greatest need. The greatest need of every human being is forgiveness. Not health, not wealth, not career, not success, not appearance. It is forgiveness. No one will be in heaven who is not forgiven of sin. No one will be in hell whose sin is forgiven. That is the entire issue. So David is right when he comes to God with this prayer to say, have mercy upon me. We need God's mercy. And this is the cry of this guilty soul. And notice as he comes, he's pleading no self-righteousness. He's not presenting himself as worthy. He turns to God because there's no human help. He cried for mercy, not justice. Never, ever ask God for justice. Justice brings the penalty of our sin. Mercy brings God's compassion. And notice he knows God because he says, "Have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness." Here's a man who knows God. And this is the prayer that pleases God. It's a prayer of humility. It's a prayer of dependence upon God. It's a cry for mercy. Now, here's an interesting thing. David uses three expressions for evil. Evil kind of is a word that covers the whole gamut of the sinful life. Here are three specific expressions. He says, blot out my transgressions. Transgressions are the breaking of God's commandments. God said, thou shalt not, and I do. I break his commandments. I break his law. It's like treason. It's like rebellion. It's setting ourselves against the will of God. That's transgression. Blot it out. Erase it. God, David is praying. The second word is, wash me from my iniquity. Iniquity refers to our life as being twisted and crooked and malformed, and we don't think right. We don't love the right things. We don't hate the right things. We're twisted, we're corrupt, and we're crooked in our life. Refers to depravity of conduct. A degraded life. A third expression is sin itself. Blot out my transgressions. Cleanse me from, wash me from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Now, the word sin means missing the mark. I don't measure up to God. Our problems, we compare ourselves with each other, and that means nothing. When you think about life, compare yourself with God. Missing the mark. Falling short of the glory of God. So David is feeling the depth of his sin. In fact, he talks about his bones aching. This is so deep in his life. And the conviction of this sin by the Holy Spirit has made him sick. He said, my bed is wet with my tears. My bones ache because of my sin. And he calls it transgression, iniquity, and depravity. Now, as there are three expressions for evil, he uses three verbs to indicate that he wants God to do something for him he cannot do for himself. And here they are. Blot out. Lord, blot out my transgressions. What does that mean? Erase my record. Do you think God does not know of every sin, every sinful thought? Of course he does. Does he not remember it? Of course he does. Does he have to keep it on the books? I don't know. I don't think he does, because he's capable of doing that in himself. But the record of my sin is there. And the record of your sin is in the universe. And David prays, blot it out. Erase it from my record. Only God can erase it. And this is his promise. Your sins are buried in the deepest sea. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. God answers this prayer. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sin and for the gift of eternal life, there is no record of my sin on earth or in heaven. There is no record of your sin blotted out, erased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you believe it? Amen. That is true. Blot out my record. What a great thing. Then he says, wash me. It's not enough to blot out the record. I want this sin washed. Put me in your laundry, Lord, and wash me, because I'm defiled. My whole being is defiled by my sin, and he wants God to do something with his vile being, his mind, his soul, and he's saying, Lord, scrub me good. I need it. Then the third expression he uses, of course, is cleanse me. Blot it out, wash me, cleanse me from my sin. Lord, I want it all removed. I want to be in your presence, and to be in your presence, I must have my transgressions blotted, my iniquity washed, and my sin cleansed. David is sick of sin. And notice here, he hasn't mentioned a word about punishment. It's just the matter of his sin. Now, the criminal goes to prison, and he's all upset about his penalty and his punishment. He doesn't care that he murdered somebody, or he raped somebody, or he stole a bank. He's just worried about his imprisonment. David isn't there. He is sick over his sin, and he cries out for his forgiveness. So he begins with this plea for forgiveness. Then he continues with a personal confession. And this is all important for us. He said, I acknowledge my sin before thee. A personal confession of sin. In shame, in sorrow, we spread our sin before God. A personal confession. Now, we need to emphasize personal, because he didn't blame anybody else. He didn't blame society. He didn't blame the pressure of life. He didn't blame a dysfunctional family. He didn't blame Bathsheba. He didn't blame anybody but himself. He admits he's a sinful man. He has a deep sense of guilt. And he poured out his soul before God. Confession. Now, confession is not easy, is it? It's hard to confess. It's hard enough to confess before God. But to confess before each other, and to put it on paper, and having it available to people. He's the king. He's supposed to be better than this. He's not supposed to bear his soul in sin before them. But he did. Because he wants to be absolutely honest before God and before the people. I suppose it's harder for someone in some area of leadership to confess sin in other people. It's very difficult for parents to confess sin to children. But we need to do that. We need to do that. We need to admit our failures to them. And this is a very important thing. It's hard for Christian leadership to confess sin. Hard for leadership, but it's hard for everybody. We need to confess sin. Now, does that mean we go around hanging out our dirty laundry in every service? There was a point, I think it was in the 50s, 1950s, where certain evangelists traveling the world, there were celebrities being saved. There were athletics, sports stars being saved. And they were immediately put on a pedestal, and they spoke to lots of groups. And one of the things they were doing was airing their sin, almost to the point of boasting, that I'm greater among you because my sin is worse than yours. That's sick. That is absolutely sick. No matter what your sin, we are on level ground because we have all sinned against God. We are all, as David, born in total depravity. And I am not going to bear my dirty laundry before you. I am telling you, I am a sinner. And I'm a sinful being. And I will disappoint you as you disappoint me. And I disappoint myself. We are all on level ground. I parade nothing of self-righteousness or holiness. Any goodness comes from God. But I need to confess that. You need to confess that. And don't hold out as if you're better than the rest of us. You are not. How do I know? God said so. David said, I was born in sin. He confesses his sin. Now, he not only pleads for forgiveness and makes a personal confession, he now looks to God for cleansing. And he uses a term that comes out of the tabernacle temple worship, where the priest takes a limb of hyssop. It's a plant. And the priest will dip that branch into the blood and sprinkle it on the people or on the sacrifice. That's why he's saying, purge me with hyssop, a ritual of worship for the cleansing of sin. But here's the thing. Purge me with hyssop, and I will what? I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me ask you. Are you holding out on God this morning? The couple that I was working with yesterday would have a very difficult time owning up to this, at least at that moment, because the sin was so great. But here's the promise. Lord, you wash me, and I'm clean. And you have no business wallowing in guilt, because God has cleansed you. That's what you have to believe. That's where we are. You're clean. You're whiter than snow. And God has done it. And David wanted God's cleansing power. And he's not getting into a program of self-improvement, of trying to take steps in it. Lord, you wash me. I shall be clean, and I am now whiter than snow. Now, I need to make that confession, and so do you. I said I'm a sinner, but I want to tell you this morning I'm whiter than snow. And I'm washed and cleansed from sin. Is that boasting? Absolutely not. It's saying to you that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to wash away sin. All the sin of God's elect. And here we are. And you need to know that. And you need to make that confession and not wallow in the past. So we have David pleading for forgiveness, making a confession of sin, coming and renewing the cleansing, and now he says, Lord, here's a bold thing. Very bold. Very courageous. Lord, make me to know joy. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. David, you don't deserve it. You have no merit. There's no way you can earn it. Why would God give you joy? Because he's gracious. Because he's loving. Because he's chosen you for that. And that's what David receives. He receives the joy of the Lord. Sinners can have the greatest joy of all people. Forgiven sinners can. Now, they confronted Jesus once with a lady who had been a prostitute. And he saved her. And she comes to a dinner where he is, and she gives him attention by washing his feet. And the Pharisees and the others rebuke him and said, look at this lady. You're letting a sinful lady wash your feet. And he said this, he that has been forgiven much loveth much. He that has been forgiven little loveth little. The person who has realized the depth and the conviction of sin and the greatness of forgiveness will have the greatest joy. Lord, restore to me the joy, and restore to me the joy of my salvation. And he looks to God for a new life. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And God does that because he's the creator. He's called upon to act as creator, and it's the same verb as in Genesis, where God created. God creates a new and clean heart. It's called being born again. It's called regeneration. And that's what we have. And that's what's necessary. And so here is a birth from above. It's not a boost from below, coming from human beings. And this morning, we are in need of God to act for us in the same way he acted for David. And David is very confident before God that God will touch his life. Now there's one more thing in this prayer. Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, restore to me the joy of my salvation. And David makes a determination. He makes a response. And he said, Lord, then I will teach sinners your way of forgiveness. If you have been forgiven by God, and God has cleansed you from sin, and you have the joy of the Lord, share it. That's what we're about. Share the salvation with others. We come here to church to be edified, to be built up in faith, and we go out and we rub with other people to share with them the joy of forgiveness. David made that determination. Then I will teach others, And he makes another vow that I'm not sure I can. He said, I'm going to sing your praise with a loud voice. Well, I'm not sure I can do that very well, because music is not one of my gifts. And singing with a loud voice is not one of my gifts. I'm going to leave that with you. You go ahead and make that vow. I'll try to do some sharing. So let's recount this. What are the steps? The terrifying power of sin. The amazing love of God. The utter helplessness of the sinner. The power of God to deliver. The power of God to cleanse. And the enthusiastic response of the redeemed. And it's the prayer that pleases God.